Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Chapter entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers, 16. Don't know, do the video anymore?
The video? The camera is not working.
Someone can fix it? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme One, who is situated as the Supersoul in everyone's life. Not by the senses, not by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, but by the vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. Translation responsibly. As the different limbs of the body,
as the different limbs of the body
cannot see the eyes,
cannot see the eyes,
the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord.
The living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord,
who is situated as the Supersoul,
who is situated as the Supersoul
in everyone's heart.
In everyone's heart.
Not by the senses.
Not by the senses.
By the mind.
By the mind.
By the life air.
By the life air.
By thoughts within the heart.
By thoughts within the heart.
Or by the vibration of words.
Or by the vibration of words.
Can the living entities ascertain?
Can the living entities ascertain?
The real situation of the Supreme Lord.
The real situation of the Supreme Lord.
Purple. Although the different parts of the body do not have the power to see the eyes direct the movements of the body's different parts. The legs move forward because the eyes see what is in front of them. And the hand touches because the eyes are because the eyes see touchable entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to the direction of the Supersoul, who is situated within the heart. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasya Charaham Ridhi Sannivishto Mataha Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. I am sitting in everyone's heart and giving directions for remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayeshir Juna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord, as the Supersoul, is situated within the heart. The living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of the Supersoul. The Supersoul is acting in every moment, but the living entity cannot understand the form and activities of the Supersoul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes. But that is not possible. But that is impossible. Although one cannot see the Supersoul in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Sevyena Bhutale Swayam Bhakadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Pancha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Patitanam Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shiva Sati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Good to see you all.
Hello.
I haven't been here to the temple since May. It's been a long time, maybe 8-9 months like that since we've been here. So it's good to be back, see my old friends, see all the devotees. Thank you for keeping the temple going during this time. So, we're hearing here how Krishna cannot be perceived by material senses. Ataha Shri Krishna Nama Yuna Bhave Grayam Indriyaya Seva Mukhi Jiva Doku Swayam Eva Spiratyata. You cannot see Krishna with material senses. The material senses are blunt. So you cannot perceive spirit with matter. In other words, you cannot use these material senses to see God, as Prabhupada says. Some people say, show me God. Prabhupada says, do you have the eyes to see God? Can you see Him? You can't see Him with these eyes. You need to purify the consciousness. Premanjana charita bhakti virochanena. means. The eyes have to become tinged with the salve of
love,
which is prema, different type of love, not this love in the material world. It's quite humorous, actually, when devotees get married. Have you been to any of the weddings? Yeah, you've been to the weddings, right? It's actually, I find it humorous. Because we're getting married, but it's all false. You know, everyone gets into it and you know, they spend like $30,000 on the hairdo and the whole thing. You know, it all disappears in no time. I find it, you know, humorous. Even my own way, I find it humorous. On one level, right, it's humorous. Another level, it's very serious. It's a big commitment. So there's one part of the wedding where the husband puts his hand on the heart of the wife. You'll see in most of the devotees like that. And he starts chanting. Mantra, it says, from love to love, who gives love? Who is the giver of love? Who is the receiver of love? Love, 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 love. He has a hand on the heart of the wife and he's saying, who is giving this love? Who is giving this love to them? But if you read the Sanskrit, it doesn't say prema, right? In the Sanskrit it says kam. Kam means lust. So what was actually being said is, who is giving this lust to who? And who is giving the lust back? From lust to lust and from lust to lust. Because if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the definition of love and lust are given. Atmendriya priti. Atma indriya priti. When you're trying, indriya means the senses. Atma means yours. So the definition of kam, of lust, is when you're trying to satisfy your senses. That is calm. The definition of prema, given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Krishnendriya priti. Krishna indriya. When you're trying to satisfy Krishna's senses, that is prema. That is love. When you try to satisfy your senses, that is calm. That is lust. So when you get married, right, you're not getting married to satisfy the other person's senses selflessly. You're getting married to satisfy your senses. Right? That's calm. Right? So it's for me it's humorous. Because you have the part of the wedding where you know the husband's touching the heart of the wife and he's saying, oh, who gives love? I'm giving love to love and love is giving love. It's not love at all. Right? One time, Upendra Prabhu, who was one of Prabhupada's early servants, this is like 1967, 68, this is like very early in the movement. So he was one of Prabhupada's servants, and he said to Prabhupada was in the room, and he was there with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was doing something. So, you know, Prabhupada was focused on what he was doing. And Upendra Prabhu says, Prabhupada, I think I should get married. And Prabhupada said, what is that? He said, Prabhupada, I think I should get married. Prabhupada said, marry? He said, yes, Prabhupada. And he said, okay. And he said, then find a girl. And then Upendra said, Prabhupada, which girl? And Prabhupada looked out the window and he said, any girl? He said, there was someone. And then Upendra said to Prabhupada, what about love? The Prabhupada said, love? Love is for Krishna. Because in the material world, we're trying to satisfy our senses. That's material. That's karma. That's not love. It's not prema. You can have love between the husband and wife. I've not seen it in the material world. But you can have it. It is possible. But you have to develop spiritual vision. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. You see the wife as Krishna's seva. Krishna's servant. You see the husband as Krishna's servant. You see the children as Krishna's bhaktas, devotees. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us. He says that my wife, my children, my home, everything is for Krishna. and is to be used in Krishna service. I am just the, how does he say it?
I'm a dog at the gate.
Taking care of the house. I'm a dog taking care of the house. Yeah, he says like, I'm like the caretaker. Yeah, like that. That kind of move. So that is the move. Right? We should see the husband as the devotee, the children as devotees, the wife as devotee, and then everyone is serving like that. That is spiritual. Prabhupada comments on the third canto. There's one purport where it describes the husbands and wives in Vaikuntha. So the husbands and wives in Vaikuntha, they are flying around in airplanes, pushpi vimana, and they're embracing each other. They're holding each other, right? And flying around on these pushpi vimana, and then they land and they get off and they serve Lakshmi Narayan. But Prabhupada said there was no sex desire. Even though they are there, and the wife is beautiful, and the husband is looks like the Lord himself, but there was no sex desire. Because their senses are full of prema, their consciousness is full of prema. They just want to use their senses in the service of Krishna, which is the definition of love. That is prema. So it is a different thing. So it can be had in this world. And we should develop that. But you'll see, sometimes between husband and wife, there is friction. Have you experienced this? No, husband and wife don't get along sometimes, is it? No? You never have? No. Okay. These are very advanced boys. They never had it. But actually, sometimes there is friction. What is the friction there for? Because we are seeing the other as the object of our sense gratification. And when you see like that, then there is friction. Because no one likes to be exploited in this world. And none of us like to be exploited. Right? Most people are vaccinated. I didn't want to get vaccinated, but I didn't have a choice, basically. Otherwise, I can't do Seva. Yeah. So, but then some people, they just will not get vaccinated under any circumstance. Because why? Because they say, I don't want to be exploited. No one will control me. No one likes that feeling. So in this, in relation to Krishna, no one likes that feeling. You don't want to be exploited. So when the husband and wife are there, you don't like that feeling of exploitation. But when we try to enjoy the other for our sense gratification, that's where the friction comes. Right? Prabhupada actually says in Ishopanishad, he said, Krishna does not want to control us. Right? Krishna doesn't want to control you. Krishna wants you to cooperate with him. That's all. Just cooperate. Because who is he? Who is Krishna? He is Bhagwan. Right? Can he help that he is Bhagwan? He can't do anything about it. He's God. He can't change. Even if he wants to have a holiday, he can't. No, he is Bhagwan. That's who he is. So he can't change who he is. And we are jiva, we are anu, we are very small. And we're just meant to cooperate, serve Krishna. We just have to serve him. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to exploit us. Right? He just says, please serve me, because I am Krishna. And when devotees have prema, they want to serve Krishna. When you are pure, you want to serve him. You have nothing else that you want to do but serve Krishna. That is prema. Always enthusiastic to serve Krishna every moment of the day. Always want to serve Krishna day and night. This is prema. So you cannot see God with your blunt material senses. Sometimes people say, I want to see God. You can't. When the senses are pure, then you will see it. Sarva pari viniyamuktam tat karatvini nimala. Sarva pari viniyamuktam. Upadi, what does upadi mean?
It means
upadi means a designation. I am this, I am that. Sarva upadi, so many. Sarva means so many, all. Sarva, we have so many designations. I am man, I am woman, I am Indian, I am Australian, I am Brahmachari, I am Grihastha, I am a doctor, I am a lawyer. Right? Everyone has their upadhi. This is all false. Bhakti destroys all these upadhis. Tat paratvena nirmala. So you become nirmala. What is nirmala? Pure. Wouldn't it be nice to be pure? It would make life much less complicated if you are a pure devotee. So how do you become a pure devotee? Sadhana. Bhakti. Because Rupa Goswami teaches us there are three types of bhakti. What are the three types of bhakti? He discusses in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita.
Sadhana bhakti,
bhava
bhakti, prema bhakti.
Very good. First one is called sadhana. Right? So if you read Nectar of Devotion, first 16 chapters, right, of the first part, they are called sadhana bhakti. Then, chapter 16, 17, you have, 17, 18, you have bhava bhakti. And then you have 19, you have prema bhakti. So there are two divisions of bhakti. One is called sadhana, the other one is called sadhya. Sadhya means the goal, what we're aiming for. You have to know what you're aiming for. If you want to develop prema bhakti, love for Krishna, you have to know what prema is. Right? If you want to get to bhava bhakti, which is the precursor, premankura, or the precursor or the beginning of prema bhakti, you have to know what it is. So you have to understand the definition of bhakti. Because when you have pure devotional service, then you will, when you're a pure devotee, then your senses become purified, then you will ascertain Krishna, you will realize Krishna. Then you can directly commune with Krishna. Prabhupada says the goal of Krishna consciousness is that we can see Krishna face to face, just like we see each other now. And Prabhupada says you take Krishna by the hand and you lead him like Mother Jashoda. That is the goal, to actually see Krishna face to face. But you'll only see Krishna face to face if you desire to see Krishna. If you have no desire, then how will you see Krishna? Many devotees leave Krishna consciousness. And many devotees, they become unenthusiastic about Krishna consciousness over the years. I don't see so much now. ISKCON is more healthy now. More devotees, they stay. They join and they stay. But in the past, like when I joined, you know, maybe like 30 years ago, people who joined with me or people who are already there, there's not so many who are still actively engaged in devotional service. Like you don't see, hands up, you've been devoting more than 30 years. Hands up, you've been more than 20 years. No one's even been over about 20 years. So it shouldn't be like that. You know, there should be many devotees. You know, it's more like that now. Everyone who's coming, they stick. But in the past, so many, why did they not stick? Many reasons why devotees leave. Or there's many reasons why devotees become unenthusiastic. But my Guru Maharaj, Jamal Krishna Goswami, he was saying in one lecture, a very nice point that he made. He said, one reason why devotees leave, they don't become attached to Krishna himself. You have to become attached to Krishna. How will you love someone if you're not attached to them? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about three different subject matters. What are the three subject matters? Anyone heard Bhagavad Gita? What is it?
Karma, bhakti, karma.
Yeah. Karma, bhakti, yeah, very good. Karma, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga. These are three subject matters of the Gita. So the very first verse of the bhakti section, chapter 7, verse number 1, very interesting. If you look at Prabhupada's lectures on Bhagavad Gita, which verse does he speak the most on?
7.1.
Yeah. What's the second? 9.1. 7.1, first verse of the 7th chapter, gives the most lectures on. First verse of the 9th chapter gives the second most. Right? It's interesting if you analyze. You know, he speaks on 7.1 more than any other verse.
23 classes.
23. GK. Very good. So 23 classes on 7.1. Now, in that verse, the first verse about bhakti, Krishna uses the word asakti. What does asakti mean? Attachment. Krishna says you have to become attached to me. This is what bhakti is based upon. If you don't become attached to Krishna, right, you will not stay enthused in devotional service. So we have to develop attachment to Krishna. And when you become attached to Krishna, then you stay enthusiastic. And then you can serve Krishna for your whole life. You can serve Krishna for many lifetimes. You can even serve Krishna eternally. But you have to become attached to him. And many devotees, they become unenthused because they are not attached to Krishna himself. So how do you become attached to Krishna? How do you become attached to Krishna?
When we have attachment.
What is it?
When we have attachment.
No, that doesn't make you attached to Krishna.
Sorry.
If you give up your attachment to material things, like Sobhari Muni, he gave up his attachment to material things, but he didn't lose, because he wasn't attached to Krishna enough, he went back to Maya. So that's not enough. That's only 50% of the work. 50% is giving up your attachment to material things. The other 50% you have to become attached to Krishna. So how do you become attached to Krishna?
Service.
Yeah, service. Yeah. Yeah. When you serve someone, you become attached to them. Right? If you do service for your guru, you become attached to your guru. That is the process. You have to do seva. And when you serve someone, you become attached to them. That's why we have to serve the other devotees. You become attached. Right? But especially you have to hear about Krishna. Shravana. Spiritual life begins with Shravana. Touch Srinu, Krishna says. Just here. Arjuna says to Arjuna, touch Srinu. Just here. And hear from me. You have to hear about Krishna. And when you hear about something, you become attached to him. Rukmini never met Krishna. But she was attached to him. You can become attached to Krishna without even meeting him. Most of us have not seen him for a long time. We haven't seen him for a long time. I can't even remember what he looks like. That's how long since I've seen Krishna. I'm convinced that I have seen him in the past, but I don't remember what he looks like. So long. Imagine you haven't seen someone so long you don't even remember what they look like. And it's a great shame. Yeah, it's a shame on my behalf. I don't even remember what he looks like. That's so long since I saw him. So by hearing about him, everything wakes up again. And just like when you have amnesia, right? You lose your memory, and then gradually it comes back by hearing. Oh yeah, now I understand. Yeah, then I remember all these different things. So then we hear more about Krishna, then we remember him, and then we can meditate on him once again. So you have to become attached to Krishna. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, Dham. You have to become attached to these things. The names of Krishna. How many names does Krishna have?
100.
Yeah, you could say there are so many names. What are some of the major names? Krishna, no, Rama, then Govinda, Gopala,
Keshav,
no.
Mahadev,
Madhav, so many. There's so many names. I have to become attached to his names. Each name is full of meaning, full of rasa. What does Madhava mean? Madhava. What do we call Krishna Madhava? What does it mean?
Clouds.
Yeah. Yeah, technically it means springtime. So one who like invokes that mood of spring. Or when you see him, it is like, because he says in Gita, of seasons I am spring. So when you see him, it is like an explosion of spring. Just like when you go to a very beautiful garden. Sometimes we fly to India. Has anyone been to India? No, you have. So sometimes you fly to India, we find you stop in Singapore airport. Have you stopped in the Singapore airport?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. I don't know who you fly with, so. Right. I go with Singapore Airport. So you stop in Singapore Airport, and then you get off, and they have beautiful gardens. They have like a butterfly garden in the airport. Because you only got a few hours, you want to stay awake, so you walk around the airport. And then, you know, beautiful gardens. And sometimes you walk in there, and it's like spring. You explore beautiful flowers, right? Beautiful butterflies everywhere. So when they see Krishna, it's like an explosion of springtime, right? So attractive. So he's known as Madhava. Madhava also means the husband of the goddess of fortune. It has different meanings. So we have to become attached to Krishna's Naam, his names. Nama, Rupa. Rupa means form. You have to become attached to Krishna's form, which means you have to know about Krishna's form. Okay, so what color are Krishna's eyes? Not black. No. Imagine if the whole thing was black. Have you ever seen anyone all their eyes all black? No. The middle part is black. That's called the pupil. But then around it, the iris. What color is Krishna's eyes?
Pink.
No, that's the white part. The white part is pinkish. But the actual iris, the actual color part, what color is it?
White.
No, that's the outside. No, I'm talking about the inner part, the color part. What we call the iris. What color is Krishna's eyes?
Blue.
Blue? No. You have to know these things. How will you become attached to him if you don't know? Dark brown. Radharani's eyes are dark blue. Her eyes are dark blue, but Krishna is dark brown. Just like sometimes you see people from India, like Gujarati people. Sometimes the women are very beautiful, and then their eyes are like, because 99% of Indian people have brown eyes. But then once in a while you get someone that's green or blue. It's like striking. You look, oh, it's so beautiful. Now, Radharani's eyes are like that, like bluish, dark blue. But Krishna's a dark brown. And then his outer part of his eye, the whitish part, that is pinkish. Because he always has tears in his eyes. Indian people like to cry a lot. I have seen. I'm not racist. Sometimes people say, this is subtle racism. My daughter says it all the time. Oh, you're a racist. That's not racist, it's true. Indian people, they always cry. One is crying and then someone else comes. Oh, what is going on? Oh, then they start crying. They don't even know what's going on. And then suddenly, the whole village, everyone's like, then you say, why are you crying about? I don't know. Right, the whole village starts crying. But this is Krishna's nature. He always tears in the eyes. And when you have tears in the eyes, your eyes go pinkish. So his eyes are pinkish all the time. Actually, everyone in the spiritual world. Because everyone has so much prema, love. When they see Krishna, they just have tears in the eyes. Krishna sees them, he has tears. So it's always pinkish. That's why it says his eyes are like the color of the lotus. Because that pinkish, like the...
You see on the...
On the lotus stem like that. It has that pinkish color. So, these are Krishna's eyes. Right? They're dark brown and then pinkish. And so they're a very beautiful shape like the lotus flower. Some of the devotees have these beautiful eyes also, and especially the devoted children. I won't mention names because they'll become embarrassed. But sometimes you see their eyes, it's like Krishna's eyes. A very beautiful shape. It also says, some description says Krishna's eyes are a little bit droopy. You know this word, droopy? Droopy is like, yeah, a little bit like, you know when you're a bit sleepy? You know, you get up in the morning and you're like, Right? Krishna's eyes are a bit like that. Interesting. Because I think Krishna's, my meditation on him, when I think, because sometimes I hear his eyes are droopy. You know, because Krishna's very relaxed. You know, sometimes he's droopy, he's like,
cheer.
That's Krishna. Because he says he's always got a slight smile on his face. So he's like, really droopy, like very bright. He is, in Australia, we would say a cool dude. Does it make sense? Cool dude? Yeah, that's what Krishna is like. He's just like very... That is his nature. So this is a description of his eyes. So there's so many descriptions about Krishna's form. So if you want to become attached to Krishna, you have to understand all these things. What is Krishna's hair like? What color is his hair?
Black.
Black. But then it has a very slight, how would you call it, like tinge. Sometimes you see the people from India, the blackish hair, but it has very slight reddish tinge. So sometimes it describes Krishna's hair as a little bit reddish tinge. Sometimes it says a little bit bluish tinge. I've seen both. You know, you see someone say it's black, but a little bit of like a bluish tinge or a reddish tinge. So it's, Krishna has that. How long is Krishna's hair? What is that?
To his shoulders.
To his shoulders when he is younger, when he's Kaumara, because he has three ages. Kaumara, Pauganda, Kaishora. Right. So when he is younger, when he is like Kaumara and Pauganda, his hair is like more to the shoulder length. But when he's Kaishora, and when you go back to Goloka in the spiritual world, he is always Kaishora. He's always like 16. He doesn't grow up in Goloka. When he comes here to the pastimes in the material world, then he grows up very slowly. And his hair grows longer and everything. But in the spiritual world, he's always 16. So his hair is down to his waist, like this, very long. Krishna's hair. You can imagine. I'm very looking forward to meeting him. Now, when I hear all these descriptions, it makes me more attracted to him. His hair is very long. Comes all the way down here. Right. He is very... Krishna is actually a little bit wild. He's a very free spirit. Right? He has this very strong spirit. It says he walks like an elephant when he's going through the forest. Have you seen a young elephant walking? Like, this is what Krishna... You know, he walks like an elephant. He has his long hair. His eyes are very beautiful, a little bit droopy. Like that. This is our God. I'm very attracted to this type of personality. So it's, all these descriptions are given of Krishna. It says that sometimes he puts his hair into a top knot. Nice, and then in a top knot. Yeah, like that. Krishna wears sometimes like that. Imagine if he's got all this long hair and then he winds up in a tie. He would look very beautiful. And then he wrestles with his friends. He says, come. Let us wrestle. One time, there's one nice pastime. All of his friends are there, and Krishna says, come, wrestle with me. And they said, you're not so hard to defeat. He said, no, come now, I will wrestle. He said, I'll wrestle all of you now. And then he starts moving like a bull, right? He's getting like, and then he starts spinning. He says, come all of you, I will fight all of you at once, and they all charge at him. And then he expands into all different forms, and he grabs all of them, and he throws them on the ground, defeats all of them at once. Right? And it says that he's roaring like a bull while he's doing that. This is Krishna. A very, very powerful personality. So you have to meditate. Nama, Rupa, Guna. Guna means qualities. What are some of Krishna's qualities? Nectar devotion, it says 64 qualities. What are some of the qualities?
Premium, yes.
Great love for his devotees. These are the final four qualities. No? One of his qualities is that the bhasha, or the speech, he can speak in the language of any other
species.
Yeah. That's, to me, that's very attractive. Because Krishna is all attractive. Imagine you can speak to any animal. Imagine Krishna is there with a parrot. He's talking to it. He can speak to any creature. This is amazing. This is our God. So, nama, rupa, guna, lila. Lila means this is where you see him display his nama, his rupa, and his guna, his pastimes. He has so many wonderful pastimes, attractive pastimes. Everything he does is attractive. Just like when he kidnaps your community. Right? Big wedding assembly. All the princes wanted to marry her. She was exquisitely beautiful. So Shishupal came. Dantavakra was there. Jarasandha. All the powerful princes. Duryodhana was there. But I don't think the Kuru's going to come. All the very powerful princes. They came. And then the day before... she was to have the Swayambhara to choose the husband. She went to see the goddess the Durga temple. So they all lined up to see her. So she got off the chariot, walked into the temple. She was coming back out of the temple. Krishna just drives a chariot in, just grabs her, puts her on the chariot, and drives out, right? In front of everyone. Right? And then all the other warriors, they said, no, we're not standing for this. They went, jumped on their chariots, put on their armor, grabbed their bows and everything, chased Krishna. So Krishna and Rukmini are driving out. They look back and they see they're all coming. And Krishna says, Rukmini, you drive the chariot. Just take the reins, you drive for a little while. I'll fight these guys off the back of the chariot with my bow, Shanga. And then Krishna begins to fight, all of them. And Prabhupada, he was explaining while he was listening to this story. He says, yes, and Rukmini should grab the reins of the chariot, right? She was driving it. The Kshatriya women, they had that spirit, so she grabbed the reins and she was driving the chariot. It's very beautiful pastimes, very attractive pastimes. And then Balaram came from the other direction with his army, and he said to Krishna, you go. He said, you go, I'll take care of this. You go. And Balaram stood there, and then they all came to Balaram. He smashed them all and said, you all go back. We're not interested in you guys. Krishna is going with Rukmini. You just go back to where you belong. These are very attractive pastimes. So this is how we become attached to Krishna. You have to hear about Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said you should read Krishna book before you go to bed every night. Because if you read Krishna book, then you will dream of Krishna. And that's very nice if you can dream of Krishna. That's very, very powerful. So this is how you become attached to Krishna. And you have to hear about him. His nama, his rupa, his guna, his lila. And then you'll develop attachment. So, any questions, any comments? Anything we have discussed? You're lacking prema, love for Krishna. We don't love him yet. Who do you love in this world? Who do you love the most? Lord Krishna. That's it. So you have to love him more. Krishna wants to take everything from you. In your heart, there might be one little bit where you don't fully love him. You don't give everything to him. Is that true? Yeah. So he wants that part as well. So when you give him that part, then you will see him. He wants 100%. He doesn't take 99%. He gave 100% or nothing.
That is Krishna. That's the way he is. He is a difficult person. He wants everything or nothing. So you have to give everything. When you give everything, then he will give to you. He wants to give himself to us, but we have to give everything first. Then he will do it. Is that okay? Good question. Any other questions?
If I cannot develop attachment to Krishna, can I develop attachment to Mahaprabhu or any other forms of Krishna?
Yeah, it's up to you. Just develop attachment to someone. Yeah, whichever form. There's no reason why you can't develop attachment to Krishna. But yeah, sometimes devotees, they feel like that, oh, I'm more attracted to Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that form. So, become attached. Hear a chant, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, of Mahaprabhu. Or some devotees are more attached to Nisringhadeva. Okay, fine. Just become attached. Which form doesn't matter. But it does matter, because whichever form you're attached to, that's where you'll go to. So, but you have to choose. That's what. So, but as long as you're becoming attached to some form, that's your personal relationship with Krishna. Whichever it is. Hear and chant about the form you're attracted to. Some devotees in Srinidhev, some devotees Mahaprabhu, some devotees Krishna, some devotees Balaram, on that, whichever it is. Everything is good. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Just follow up on that question.
Yes.
The initial purpose of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, he says any form is okay. But then later in the final chapter, he says it is only when Krishna. Not even 400 forms, not any other form. And then you see the definition of pure devotional service. What Krishna means, Krishna and his expansion. That's all the devotional says. So how do you understand Prabhupada emphasizing only Krishna in the last chapter?
Yeah, it's not the last chapter, it's chapter 11 or 12. Yeah, it's not 18 where Prabhupada says that. Where he says, don't divert your attention to any other form but Krishna, the two-handed form. Yeah, that's 11 or 12, it's around about there in the Gita. But, because that's what it means, that's what love means. Just like the gopis, Krishna disappeared. They were running through the forest, mad, in separation. And then Krishna took the form of Narayana. Yeah, he was having some lila, some joy. So he takes the form. So gopis, they said, there's Krishna, because, you know, same color. They ran, and when they got there, it was Narayana, forearms. And they said, Lord Narayana. You know, their love was so intense, they said, Lord Narayana, have you seen Krishna? And Lord Narayana just stood there, didn't say anything. and they said, Namaste, Namaste. And they ran off looking for Krishna. Lord Narayana was there. So that is the level of love. When you love someone, you can't replace. You can't be a second person. That's natural love. So Prabhupada says that because Prabhupada loved that form and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved that form. Then Prabhupada says, don't go to any other form. But in your heart, if there is some other form, then you go to that form. But otherwise, okay. Any other question? Mataji.
So this verse is spoken by Yamaraj.
Yeah.
And sorry, I came late, but yeah. I presume encouraging us how we can see the world.
Yeah.
So how significant is it that we should do this before we meet Yamaraj?
Before we meet Yamaraj? None of us are going to meet Yamaraj. Yeah. You've got this on yourself.
Oh.
It says in the Shastra, if you have the Kanti Mala, you will not see Yamaraj. He doesn't come to the people with the Kanti Mala. He doesn't come. Yeah, when the Yamadutas come, they say, oh, Bhaktas, oh, don't touch. We tried to touch one in the past and we got in trouble.
Yeah,
they won't touch. They've got no reason to touch us because all of our, it's all burnt up. So.
Yeah, for
us there's no Yamaraj. Yamaraj is actually benign. He's a devata and he's very beautiful. He has a very beautiful form. Like demigods are very beautiful, golden, beautiful form. But when you go to Yamaloka, if you've been in sinful, when you get there he puts on a vesh. A vesh means like Hati Vesh. Jagannath puts on that elephant. Hati Vesh, the form. So he puts on a vesh, very terrifying. Yeah. So when people, sinful people go to Yamaloka, they see that he puts on this vesh. Yeah, he looks very terrifying. What have you done? And then they say, he has done this. And they say, now you go to hell. This particular type of hell, Rasatala. You go there and you suffer. But he's not actually like that. That's just his, when he's at work. But when he goes home, he takes it off and he just looks like demigod. That's what he actually looks like. So we don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Shall Prabhupada keep?
Jai Ho.
Jai Ho.